You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, theatre folks, one and all. Welcome back to the We Are Theatre podcast. We are still in Gander. We are still kicking it with the cast from Come From Away Australia as they head back into the theatre for their reopening, I guess, here in Australia. And today we are joined by Angela, one of the standbys for the cast of Come From Away Australia. Hey, Angela, how are you going?
I'm very well, thank you.
I am really excited to have you here. But first of all, what is your favourite thing about the Come From Away story?
The story is that it's about kindness, regardless of who you are or where you're from, and how people come together in times of crisis and unite.
That's pretty good summary. Hey, being a part of this show, what's something that you've learnt that you've really like connected to through like your discovery of your characters and that type of thing?
That you're not an island, so to speak. Yes, that how much I love working in an ensemble show, and that's what it is. You just cannot do it on your own. It's a show that really hands the baton. I mean, it's a marathon of a show to start with. It's 100 minutes nonstop, no interval, 12 actors on stage handing the baton in this marathon of a incredible story, which is true. This is the other thing. So the challenge always is to bring incredible truth to the story as an actor. So revisiting those skills, not just performing it and whacka, whacka, whacka and putting up your jazz hands. You've got to honour these real people and this real story and play multiple characters with honesty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Has that made you like approach your kind of process a little differently, like knowing that they're like the real truth behind it, knowing that these people like are still living, that type of thing? Was there a different process for you in kind of trying to understand what they went through?
I mean, I think the process with an actor is to find the truth in whatever you're doing anyway. I think with this, you really had to dig deep, not act. I think that, and that was the overall direction, is stop acting, just stop acting, just tell the story. Discover the need of the scene, play that and pass it on.
Yeah. This show is so cool. Like just the I think the mass ensemble effect, like there's not many shows out there that are like it, especially non-intermission musicals of sorts as well. So being on stage and obviously as a standby, you get to cover different roles. What is that like for you? Getting to go on for those different roles on different nights and get to experience the story from different perspectives?
Incredibly stressful, but but I mean, once you know the show and you get your head around all the staging, which is incredibly intricate, Kelly Devine's staging and choreography, working with these 12 chairs and a couple of tables. And of course we've got, I think there's 200 spikes on the deck, on the floor, which you have to place all your chairs and so forth. So other than the staging and sort of freaking out which chair where and what number am I on and all of that sort of stuff, the wonderful thing about being a standby is that you get to play. I mean, not just sort of play these other, you know, all the different characters, but you get to explore your diversity and your skills.
Yeah.
to, yeah, you go out, you're in the playpen and off you go and have fun, whoever you are. But because the consistent need of the skill is to be honest and truthful, it sort of doesn't tend to be an acting challenge anymore once you know the stuff and the 3 million harmonies and all the different accents and then the staging, which is stressful, you know. But once you're on and you're on that sort of electric train, I mean, once that Bodhran goes at the beginning, you're on, it does not stop. And because it's an ensemble show and the cast are just so beautiful and everything's done with kindness and generosity in the, you know, spirit of the show, everyone's looking after your back, you know. So, yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
What was your actual, like, introduction to the show? How did you first kind of learn about this show, and had you seen it before you got cast in it?
No, well, I was one of the ones who hadn't seen the little bootleg that was floating around before the auditions. So, but they did send us the full script, okay, which was wonderful. You know, you don't often get that in auditions. So I just enjoyed reading that with no knowledge, really. I did a little bit of sort of research of, what is this and what is this about, you know. So I really sort of researched the people from Gander, Newfoundland, and their story. So, yeah, I'd seen a few sort of promotional clips.
Yeah.
I didn't know who was who or what was what, but I knew something special was going on.
Yeah. Going from page to stage, how was that transition from you, like, reading it? And obviously when you read things, like, you picture something in your head, how did that translate to kind of what you're a part of now after reading it and going on stage?
Really well. I think because I hadn't seen it, it was, you know, sort of a privilege really to just start at the beginning with the word, you know. And transitioning was extraordinary. I mean, I remember us all first day at the rehearsals, and the requirement for that was everyone had to be off book before the first day of rehearsals, and the standbys had to be off book with two characters. We hadn't had any sort of accent work, dialect work. So you just sort of had to bring, you know, off book on the first day. That was extraordinary and a really weird thing to do without the process to begin with. But there's no way you can stage this with a script in your hand, full stop. It's just impossible because it moves so quickly. But we were very lucky that the table work, once we, you know, started, was long. You know, we were table working for at least 10 days before anyone stood up. And then, of course, dropping in all the music and the music, a lot of the dialogue, it's all underscored. So it's, wow, it's bringing it all back to me now. And it was such an exciting process.
Yeah.
But thank God we were off book, so we could just, start afresh.
And speaking of being afresh, you're kind of getting to do that right now, getting that kind of reset into the reboot of the show, of you guys coming back after lockdown. So what's it been like kind of getting back together with, like, the whole company, getting to kind of restage this show, ready to go back in front of audiences?
Oh, totally. So we've got 5 new cast members, and which includes a couple of more standbys. So we've got actually 4 females and 4 male standbys now, just to cover the show because of COVID and the whole thing. it's been fantastic. We've gone back to the beginning and we sat down and did the table work again because all the new people needed to know the beginning of the story, how it happened, watch all the videos together, cry together as we're, you know, watching all the documentaries on 9/11. And then, yes, we were able to sort of discuss the show. The other thing is the associate director and choreographer are with us at the moment from America after they're doing their, you know, quarantine and so forth here. And they've done the show two more times since, you know, we opened. Oh, what was it? When did we open? What is the year? Does anyone know the year? we opened in, July 2019. So they've done a couple more productions since then. They've been refining everything that this show can be. I mean, it's always been in a glorious place, but it's even more detailed and more refined. And as the director said, he said, you know, we're actually different people now. You know, since March of last year, we're different. The world is different. How are we going to approach the work now? And we all had to sort of question that. So it's even more nuanced now. I mean, I can't wait for everyone to see it. It's just, it's in a beautiful place at the minute. We've got all the wonderful new energy of the new people. And it just, it means more than ever.
I just like got a little emotional through that whole thing.
I did a little bit too.
The fact that people are thinking, cool, people are going to approach the arts differently. They're going to walk back into a theatre. I remember the first time I went to see Frozen and walking back into that theatre, like I was like, I'm back in a theatre. Like just walking through the doors, it was like, oh, wow, okay, I'm actually here. Yeah. So how – and it just meant a little more being able – I'm actually literally crying. Being able to like watch a show and like see performers and just like – guys, it's going to be so special for you guys going to see this show. I kid you not. Like,
yes, and for audiences to come and have a communal experience together once again, and that's what theatre is in that moment, in that time, to go on that journey. And this particular journey is extraordinary. I mean, we're sort of struggling with tears at the moment through the show while we're doing it, and we've got to get that out of our systems because we're revisiting it and personally we're having all these experiences because of the story again. And it's good. We've got to get it out of our system. So we hand it over to the audience and they can go on the journey while we tell this story.
You mentioned different dialects and that type of thing earlier. How many different kind of accents and that type of thing do you have to cover in this show?
Ah, now, here we go. Well, there must be about 10 different accents in the show because the show isn't just about the Newfoundlanders. It's about the come from a ways. Yeah. So the Newfoundland people call anyone who's not from Newfoundland the aways. And so, yeah, the come from away. So it's about the passengers as well, and they're from all over the world. When they are grounded and stranded in Newfoundland for 5 days, so we have all sorts of American accents, Southerners, and you know, and then we've got sort of English people and French people, and then of course we've got the Hindis and the South Africans, and the, I mean, it's everything.
A great kind of expression of multiculturalism on stage as well, with like diversity of actors and everything like that. It's just a fantastic celebration of life, I think, this show, from how you should treat people just to being able to express different cultures and that type of thing on stage. I absolutely love this show. To wrap things up, Angela, what is your favourite moment in the show?
Oh, come on. My one One favourite moment. Well, I tell you what, I was having a little tear the other day. Luckily, I was looking up over onto stage left, up into the wings where we're all still. And it's revealed, oh, well, should I say that? I don't know.
Most people
do. Anyway, it's a moment.
Okay.
Luke, listening to this, would have seen the show, you mean?
Probably. This episode's coming out about 2 weeks after you open. So most people probably by now, if you're listening to this, you've seen it.
Well, I won't give it away, but there is a beautiful relationship that develops between two people in a show of Beulah, who is a Newfoundlander. She's head of the school there, and Hannah, who's a passenger, and her son is part of the first responders at the scene on the day, and she spends those 5 days trying to find out what's happened to him. Anyway, it's the moment in the show where Beulah and Hannah communicate about that, and it gets me every time.
Yep, I just got like a massive rush of chills. Well, guys, that emotionally charged ending, we are going to wrap things up there. Thank you so much, Angela, for coming and chatting. It's a pleasure to have you here. And for you guys at home listening, if you want to catch Angela, any of the other cast members that we're having here on the show, in Come From Away, while it's here in Australia, make sure you're doing it. Check out comefromaway.com.au for more ticket information. And we will see you next week with a brand new episode of the We Are Theatre podcast. Bye, guys.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.